You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/sbfvgs.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 186 of the Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Lopez. With me, as always, is Mr. David J. Tate.
Nearly perfect attendance, but not quite. I've missed a couple, but I'll tell you, someone who doesn't have perfect attendance, that Adam Redding.
You're going to rib him every time.
Every time, until he comes back, basically.
I guess until it gets old. Who knows? Maybe
we have a guest. Don't we have a guest? Actually, not a guest, a super best friend, because I believe it's their third appearance, which I think makes them a super best friend instead of a super guest friend.
That's right. Top newsman himself, Mr. Casey Lawrence.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, AKA look at Ultima Kills.
Yeah. Deep, melodic. I love it. I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah. His voice is very different than ours. In some ways, it's slightly cowboy-esque, but not like there's not the accent part. So it's like the cowboy without the accent.
Hey, I can bring the cowboy in if I need to, y'all.
I like that. Just immediate transition. Oh, it's there all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Super Best Friends
video
game.
So tell us about the show, Mike.
Yeah, Sleepover podcast. It used to come to you every fortnight with us discussing one topic together, but now it's a little more ad hoc. It's a little more free flow. Adam's not here. We're a bunch of hippies, and we just kind of put the show together.
Adam was the one who kept the ship on the schedule, the tight, I guess the train on the schedule, that we had that tight schedule, and then Adam left us to pursue his dream, which how dare he? And
really selfish if you think about it.
He listens to these episodes. Anything goes. Anything goes.
It kind of is.
SBFVGS gone wild.
Oh man.
And we typically open the show up with a little segment called "What are you guys playing at?"
Well, I would like to say, since it's Ultima Kills, aka by the way, I play games with Ultima a lot, so it's really hard for me to call him Casey, even though that's his name. So I may call him Ultima a lot in this recording. But
it's all right. My mom calls me Ultima.
Are you serious?
No, not serious.
I totally believed it. But yes, it's his first time as a super best friend. Why don't we why don't we let him take the reins and tell us what he's been playing at?
Oh, little old me. All right, so I have been trying my hardest not to buy any new games, which
it's
is very
so hard.
Difficult.
The eternal struggle.
There are so many good games out right now.
There are so many.
So I went back into my tried and true Final Fantasy X. To try to keep me held over, you know, for a few days, a few weeks, hopefully. So I'm kind of towards the end of that. I have a really bad record with Final Fantasy games of getting to a certain point and then just dropping off, like, before I actually beat it. And
they get really long on the point. Some of those games.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with Final Fantasy X, there's a point where it opens up and becomes like much more of an open world, and then you can go do anything that you really want. Mm-hmm. And I'm at that point, and that's the point where I'm like kind of lose the motivation to, to keep playing it. Yeah, because you're no longer directed, you know, to what you need to do. So I'm not sure how much longer that's going to hold me. But outside of that, I started playing Titanfall 2.
Yesterday
for the first time.
First time.
So that's been super great. Yeah. So I just kind of started looking at my like backlog, and I was like, I've got to stop myself from buying Hogwarts Legacy. I've got to stop myself from buying Dead Space. I've got to stop myself from buying all these games. Like, what can I play? So Titanfall 2 on the list. Just started playing it yesterday. It's super fun. Having a great time with it. And the last thing I'm playing is Marvel Midnight Suns had kind of like a free weekend,
right?
Yeah, and so I forgot played about just a tiny bit of that.
What do you think?
Son was sick. Well, I wanted to put a lot more time into it. I really only got to play maybe an hour and a half at the most. And it was really fun. And I, you know, I never played XCOM either. So this is really kind of like a novel to me. So I know that they kind of reused a lot of the, you know, combat mechanics and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 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 It's similar. I wonder. So I just played Mario and Rabbids. Oh man, I already forgot the name of it. But anyway, that's also like a baby XCOM.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how similar it is to Midnight Suns, because I really loved that game.
This kind of straddles the ground between them, right? Because it's not as like hardcore XCOM, like fine, perfect cover, set all your guys in like Overwatch. You know, XCOM is like punishing. Any mistake is absolutely brutal. I don't think it's like that, right? It's
And it doesn't have rabbids, so it's not as good as Mario versus Rabbids.
I mean, that's like, only fair.
I know David loves the rabbids.
I hate them.
But yeah, it's I really wish I would have had more time, but my son was sick, and so I only got to put that hour and a half in, and then by the time I logged on, it had already gone away. So,
if you think about it, really selfish of your son to get sick. You know,
I know, how dare he?
Very inconvenient.
And then again, I can't bring myself to buy it because I'm trying not to buy new games right now. So it's like that was probably the worst thing I could have done is only play that hour of it and then you know, gone back to not buying games. But I thought it was really fun in that first hour. I mean, the characters were cool. You know, it was really cool to see all of those characters together, like seeing Blade fight along like Doctor Strange and stuff like that, you know, just like
stuff really we can't really see in the MCU yet.
Exactly.
We might soon. I guess there is a Blade actor, but we just they haven't brought him in yet, really. So.
Yeah, well, Wesley Snipes or nobody. So
there you go. Have you guys seen the TV series What We Do in the Shadows?
I have seen the first couple seasons. Love it. I love what's that guy? Matt Berry. His voice is just like bad form. Like he's just amazing.
One of my favorite scenes in that. And it happens throughout the seasons. They get people who have like famously played like vampires in other TV media or movies to come back. And there's an episode where they had Wesley Snipes call in as Blade on like a web call. It's so good.
Oh my wow. That's amazing.
So how'd check
they get
that
away
show
with
out.
That one.
I don't know, man. Yeah. They do crazy stuff. Check it out. Midnight Suns is definitely on my list of games to play. I plan on picking it up. I'm in the same boat, right? Like I don't need a bunch of new games that I don't have time for. But that's certainly on the list. I'm a big you know, I wouldn't say a comic nerd because I don't read enough comics to be a comic nerd, but I did when I was a kid, and so I still have an attachment to all those characters, and I want to play that game real bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's tactical RPG, you know, with all the Marvel characters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it checks a lot of boxes for me.
For sure.
Yeah, I had looked at some reviews previously that said, you know, that the combat can get a little repetitive and stuff like that. Mm. But, you know, only playing for an hour, I didn't really get into that. Yeah, not enough time. So
it can't possibly be, you know, any worse than XCOM is, which is, I mean, it's like, pick shoot or pick don't shoot. So
yeah,
it's pretty repetitive already. It's a repetitive genre.
Yeah, I never found Mario and Rabbids Galaxy of Sparks of the Hope, something like that. I never found that one to be too repetitive, and I think it's because they were really good at mixing up the kind of like some missions you had to kill everyone, some missions you had to get to a specific zone. And like they mixed that up, and then also like every now and then there was a boss fight, which was very like they would add new mechanics into it and stuff. And also you could shoot or you could do like a power, like you had like some sort. And I feel like I would assume that Marvel game would have something like that because all these heroes have powers. So, anyway, that's how they like made it less repetitive. Although by the end of Mario and Rabbids, I guess I was ready for it to end. So
sure.
You're never ready for Rabbids to end. Yeah. Nobody ever wants that.
I hate them. Anyway, they're a menace. Anyway, I feel like I would like to speak about what I've been playing at, if I may have the floor. All right, cool. And I'll try not to take 1,000 years this time. I actually don't have notes, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So, Destiny 2. I actually met Casey playing Destiny 2. We did like a looking for group, I think, with something like that. And we did like, which raid was it? Was it Vault of Glass?
No, I think it was the Crota's End raid was the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
It could have been Vault because I was like, Sherpa-ing Vault at the time. So it definitely could have been that. But
yeah, so he was one of the few people who stuck. I think our other friend Deadwords, we actually invited him to be on this episode, and he was busy today. We're actually recording on President's Day, and I'm trying to get this video, this episode edited the same day we record it. I don't know when it's actually going to go live, but this should be the freshest SBF VGS you've ever heard, which is really cool. But anyway, to super fresh friends video
fresh game. Friends video game sleepover.
I love it.
Super fresh friends.
Super fresh friends. It sounds like either we're a really bad like 90s all white hip hop band, or we're like young kids and we're not really good at obeying the rules, you know.
Or both. Yeah.
We're both. That's right. Anyway, I'm totally off track here. So Ultima and I go back from playing Destiny 1 together. So Destiny 2 is wrapping up the current season that it's in, and it's getting ready to drop a big expansion. It looks big. Who knows how big it will really be? It's really hard to tell. Sometimes they're like huge, like the last expansion, the Witch Queen, very big. Lots of new stuff. Changed a lot of things. Lightfall looks big, but it could just be another... what was that called? The SIVA one was kind of small.
Iron Banner, the Iron Lords one. Yeah,
the Iron Lords one was actually kind of small. So, I who knows? It's hard to know with these expansions. But I will say they wrapped up this season, leading into the next game. Very cool. I don't want to spoil it for those of you who are into Destiny but haven't played that mission yet. Lots of changes. Lots of very big changes in the Destiny universe. Characters dying. Things, just big implications that I don't fully know what are going to happen with them. Oh, it's really hard to talk about without spoiling it, but just big things, big things happened. And
big things.
The mission was pretty cool too. Even though it reused stuff that you were doing throughout the season. I feel like they changed it up enough to make it interesting. They made it difficult. Like they lower your light level, and it's kind of like a challenging mission, which was really fun. That final mission alone made me playing through the whole season worth it to me. I know that's not the case for everyone. Not everyone has that kind of time.
Mike put up a back in 10 minutes sign
and
left the room. Yeah.
Mike loves Destiny 2 historically.
He loves it. He loves
it. There is an episode somewhere where I did physically leave the room when we were talking about Destiny. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say I'm semi-retired Destiny player at this point. I fell off.
You've been burned. So
yeah, too hard. Yeah, burned too hard.
I'm part of the reason that you fell off, actually, because I streamed a raid.
You were just there. Yeah.
I was just
there. You're not the reason. Yeah.
Okay. So there's this is a gun called
it was the Vex Mythoclast.
The Vex Mythoclast. You can only get it from doing this one raid, and it was a rare drop.
Super rare.
And Ultima ran through that raid how many times?
I want to say it was like 49 times, something like that. Yeah,
49 times, and you have to wait a week to do it. Well, I guess you could play it on another character.
No, it's only per account. So that's the thing is you only get one shot a week, I think. Yeah.
So he ran it once a week for 40 something weeks, and never got the drop, which is stupid. And I ran it on stream and got it on my first run. And that was Ultima's last time ever playing.
Yeah, actually, I just... So it's not per account, but your increase, your percentage only goes up per account. So, like, you get 3 chances, but it's the same chance each week until the next week. So, like, the drop chance is per account. You get 3 chances. But, yeah, you got it on the first try. Not just you, but, we ran it with some super best friends. And by... you know, after a week or two, like everybody else had got it except for me. And that was just the straw that broke the camel's back for me because that there was also some mods out in that particular season that made the Vex Mythic class like the best gun that you could get. And it was one of my favorite guns from Destiny 1. And yeah, running that raid like 50 times. And it was also I was having to get people to run the raid with me that already had the gun, and like I was getting five other people to like take times out of their lives to try to help this guy get a gun, you know, that we've already had forever. And it was just like all that stuff compounded, and I was like, yeah, I'm done. So
yeah,
I've hung up my Titan bubble and my warlock moved on to greener pastures. And I'm not upset about it at all, in case you could tell.
Well, listen, if you're out there playing Destiny 2 and you're hopelessly addicted, there is life after Destiny, I promise
there
you.
There is.
Ultima is proof of that. But I'm still kind of addicted to it, so I've already ordered the Lightfall expansion, and I'm looking forward to digging into it. I'll probably do a couple streams of it, just to play through the campaign and stuff. So we'll see.
And to turn this into Super Best Friends Destiny sleepover, but this is the final expansion before they wrap up like the current storyline, right? So this is the big one, right? The grand finale.
Launched, right. Since Destiny launched, it's been light versus dark. And light fall means they're basically going to... This one is not the one that ends it. I think there's going to be one more that actually ends it. This is like
I thought this was the last one. Okay,
Maybe it is, but I don't think so. Okay. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, Light versus Dark, that saga is coming to an end. They've already kind of been messing with it, making it more gray. It'll be interesting to see how they end it. My prediction, this has nothing to do with what happened at the season finale, but my prediction is they're going to kill the Traveler, which is the giant moon thing that's been floating in the sky since Destiny 1. I think they're going to just get rid of the Traveler, which would be weird and big, but we'll see.
Mike, how do you feel about them killing off the Traveler?
I can't wait. It sounds like a good thing to do. Caused nothing but problems since the beginning of the game, I think.
That's true.
A little while since
true
I
story.
Played it. So I think when it gets down to it, you're going to find out like the Traveler was the big bad the whole time. And this is a good thing, probably, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. That's an interesting take. I know that the Fallen feel that way. Feel that way about the Traveler.
For sure. I'm like a huge fantasy nerd. I can't get enough, right? Lord of the Rings and Name of the Wind. On and on.
Destiny,
and on.
Can't get enough of it.
There's something about like sci-fi. Whenever people are explaining like sci-fi stories and like sci-fi games to me, it sounds like you're stuck in the worst conversation with someone who's addicted to D&D and just wants to tell you about the really cool sword that they got and its awesome stats. And it's just like, I glaze over, right? Because even as a fantasy, you know, there's only so far I can get into before I don't actually care about that. But and all of sci-fi is like that for me. It's I know it's not fair. But that is how it is.
Yeah.
Except
so let
for
me
Mass
tell
Effect.
You. Let me tell you some more about the mods for the Vex Mythoclast that I didn't get.
Yeah.
It caused me to rage quit the game that I played for like 2,000 hours.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
yeah. You still probably have more hours than me in Destiny. Anyway, that's enough about Destiny. Let's.
Yeah, that was our topic for
the
episode. So
all right, thanks
topic,
everybody.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
Good night, everybody. No. The other game I've been playing at, and this one's a little controversial. If you have any hate comments for us, just address them to @TacoDouglas on Twitter.
That's where they all go.
Because I don't read it.
I have been playing Hogwarts Legacy.
How dare you? I
don't want to try to get into a debate about whether or not I should be playing Hogwarts Legacy. I know there are some strong opinions. I know that the creator of Harry Potter has said some pretty strong things. And I also know that she's rich enough to where she doesn't need anyone to defend her. Like, she's fine. So I'm not trying to defend her. The way I see it, me playing the game
makes her right. You're really, right, David. What a good opinion.
No, it's not. I'm not endorsing her, or like, you know what I mean. Like,
I get it.
Voting with your wallet is a thing that doesn't, it's never worked. I grew up in the church where Christians tried to vote with their wallet against Blockbuster, and Blockbuster did not die.
I don't remember
of that.
That.
I remember when we did this with Harry Potter the first time. So
yeah, that now that I remember. True.
Anyway, we don't have to go into the history.
Anyway,
of that.
So all that to say, you know, I know there's a very big ethical conversation here, and I don't feel like I am qualified to be an expert on it because it's so complicated. The discourse is very, I don't know about nuance, but it's just very difficult to navigate. Streamers have been bombarded because of it, and so that's why I'm not streaming the game, but I am playing it. And I gotta say, for Avalanche's first ever big, gigantic open world game, this is not the Avalanche Software you're thinking of. They did not make Mad Max. They didn't make Just Cause. This is a different Avalanche. They made Disney Infinity, which, or Cars 2 or something, like a driving, a racing game.
Yeah, they have experience with the license. Movie. Yeah.
Wow, they went from making a movie to making
that would be wild.
A huge open world video game.
Yeah.
They've experienced with a bunch of licensed properties, but they've always been pretty small or really niche games. Disney Infinity was probably the largest one. And even that is like, I mean, it's pretty clearly a licensed game. I mean,
yeah, by all accounts, it was pretty good, but it did not last very long. So, so anyway, all that to say, they did a pretty good job with this game. There's some performance issues. Digital Foundry actually just released a video yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Xbox version in particular has some performance issues. The PC version, which I'm guessing is based on the Xbox version, also has those similar performance issues. Very high CPU usage, which I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. But so has some issues performance wise. Thankfully, I can brute force it with my RTX 3090. You know.
Humble brag.
Well, it's not really. I mean, it could be a 4090. That's all I'm saying.
Could be.
But it could be, but it's not. So pretty fun. I am not too far into it. I'm like 5 hours in. It kind of gives me some Skyrim vibes, but with better combat, which is exactly like the world's not as big.
Somebody out there just blew a blood vessel hearing you say that, but yes.
Oh, I think Ultima did. I saw his face.
I was wanting to hear Mike's take because I know he hated the combat in Skyrim, so
I hate the combat.
Hear his opinion on it.
But yeah, so the combat itself is really fun. It's kind of based on Batman / Spider-Man. Like you can react to what someone's about to do. You get like a little yellow thing over your head if you can block it, and a red one if you have to dodge. If you do block and hold, you can actually counter it, which is really cool. I mean, it's simplified. It's not insanely difficult, at least not on the normal difficulty setting, at least not yet. And there's like the last mission I did, I went into like a cave and I had to fight a bunch of spiders. And that's what reminded me of Skyrim the most, probably. And I had to solve some puzzles while I was in there. So
lots of skeletons and random coins laying
sadly
around.
No skeletons.
Was there a small stream running through the cave?
There might have been.
Yes, there was water.
There might have been.
I think there was water. Yeah. Been a while. But I didn't get to go into it, I don't think. But anyway, it's fun. It's a fun game. The story I've heard is really stupid. I've enjoyed what I've gotten into so far, but also like I personally don't care if stories are stupid in video games as long as the gameplay is fun, and I'm having fun with it. So,
sure.
So yeah, the last thing I was playing. Okay, so this is the first SB of VGS that we're recording during the day, and I was actually playing like an hour of it before the stream or before the podcast, and I have just unlocked the broom. So possibilities are endless. I get to fly
around. You can clean.
Now.
Oh, you fly on it.
No,
okay.
Not that kind of broom.
He was going to have the cleanest dorm room in Hogwarts, but now he's just flying around on that broom.
Oh, also, strangely enough, my character never sleeps. He has a bed, but I've just not gone back to the sleeping quarters since I started the game. Like,
you start with
sleeping quarters.
What you'll find is if you need to change the time of day, you can do so in the map or you find like a mission start area, and if you're not at the right time of day, your character will just lay down on the ground and go to sleep. So that's when you sleep.
It's so true.
I know, that's what that's like being at the airport, right? It's like, oh, my yeah. my plane doesn't leave for 3 hours, so I'll just sleep on the floor right here in the terminal.
Hogwarts and airports have a lot in common, turns
exactly.
out.
Yeah. And it's like, it's more like Southwest, where it's got lots of performance issues.
Oh.
Topical.
Get him.
Topical. So yeah, Hogwarts Legacy is great. I'm sure Mike will talk more about that. And then finally, the last game I've been playing at, which is the game that I have been streaming over at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/sbfvgs. I try to stream there Monday nights and Thursday nights. And I have been streaming the PC port of A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. And I gotta say, I'm having a lot of fun. I have not beaten that game since the 90s. I have played it a couple times, but I'm officially farther than I've ever been since the 90s. Mm-hmm. And the PC port has a couple quality of life things which make it infinitely better, I think, in my opinion. One, going from screen to screen is like 3 times faster, if not more. So, you know, in the SNES version, you just kind of like run for a little while the screen transitions.
You
and
bump
in this
up against the edge of the screen and then
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and this, it's just the movement is faster and smoother. And then the other quality of life improvement that makes it better is you can actually map two items at a time instead of just one. One is on the Y button, like normal, and then the other one is if you hold down the X button while you're in the menu, you can assign another thing to the X button. So two items is great. It makes it a lot easier to, like, you know, for example, if you're just running around the map and you have your sword out and you have your hook shot out, but you want to catch a fairy, you can just keep the what is that called? The net assigned to X, and you will just catch the fairy, and it's easy. And so really fun. I'll probably be beating it. I don't know. Let's see. I think I have 5 out of 7 crystals at this point. And then right after the crystals, you go to Ganon. Is that right, Mike?
No, there's another dungeon. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so it probably will be 3 or 4 more streams then, if I had to guess.
You haven't played this on like the Nintendo Switch where they have it and the online, like in the Super Nintendo games.
Oh, no, I haven't. I actually rarely. It's funny. I'm paying for this online service mostly for those games, and I barely play them ever there.
Yeah, I would love to for you just to play a few minutes of it and see if, like, you know, the things that you like about, like, the performance improvements and stuff, if you notice that in the you know, in the on the Switch as well.
Oh, did they improve those things?
I played it there, and I feel like it was a little bit snappier than playing on a real Super Nintendo. The thing is, is like, I'm sure it's done with an emulator, you know, that's supposed to be, you know, really similar to the original hardware. So this could just be me, you know, imagining that. But it felt, you know, snappier to me when I was playing it.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of like you. I remember playing it on the console, and it was like, 2 seconds you're running into the side of the wall before the screen, you know, re-render or whatever.
I could do that. We have a news story similar along those lines as well, so anyway Link to the Past, it's a fun game. It's Mike's favorite Zelda game.
It is.
It's my
Breath,
like,
of the Wild was Mike's favorite.
Oh, it's my least favorite.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's weird. Mike just never got over the fact that his weapons break, and so that
and
was
the aiming
to
is
ruin
bad,
the
and the game's boring.
And
no,
you have to recharge the things, Master Sword.
You got
to
recharge the Master Sword. It's a bad game, guys. It's a bad game.
Zero out of five tacos.
Send your hate mail to @TacoDouglas on Twitter. He will read all of those and then cry and then
all of them.
Yeah, all of them. but anyway. That's the games I've been playing at. Again, it took, 15 minutes? I'm sorry. I tried.
Yeah, we're
30
minutes
hard.
Deep.
Yeah, we really are. So, Mike, what
best
have you been playing at?
Best 30 minutes of your life.
That's right.
I hope so. That's why they keep coming back, right? To hear what I've been playing at. That's what I assume.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. Mike, what have you been playing at?
Good stuff. Yeah, so I'll be quick. We mentioned last time I've been playing The Secret of Monkey Island, like the originals, with my family. We just wrapped up the first game. Which was a ton of fun. I can't wait to jump into part 2, Chuck's Revenge. But before that, we're taking a little break because I'm familiar with the Harry Potter universe, and it's like, I almost through cultural osmosis, I don't have a choice. My wife and my daughter are super duper into it. They love it. So I know probably more about that property through them than actually by reading books or watching movies. So yeah, we also picked Hogwarts Legacy. The best thing I can say about it is that my daughter's not playing Genshin Impact anymore, which is freaking fantastic. I was also pleasantly surprised about how well Avalanche did, considering sort of their catalog. Not to disparage anything they've made, this is just like the biggest, you know, most grand thing they've ever done, like their first like real huge AAA thing, and it's done pretty well. It's got a lot of stuff in it that is like very middle of the road. Like, if I think I could definitely say, if you were not a fan of the IP that it's based on, you would probably play this game and be like, man, this is kind of just okay, not great.
That's an interesting take. Okay.
I feel like a lot of this game leans so hard into the IP that if you're not into it, then it's just like, I don't care about any of this.
I just want to say, from my perspective, I was an adult when Harry Potter was coming out. So like, I missed that whole like ability to make it nostalgic for me.
For sure.
But I do. It's like a fantasy. We need more fantasy. I agree with you about like, there's so much sci-fi and no fantasy. And, you know, like, this is kind of like modern fantasy and almost like a modern fable in some ways, like working Merlin and like King Arthur's kind of history into it as well. So yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones was another fantasy, but that one is like, nobody's good and nobody's bad, which is like every story these days.
Sure.
And in Harry Potter, it's one of the few areas where, like, you know, maybe the good guys sometimes are a little naughty, but it's kind of fun, you know.
Well,
like,
they're naughty, all right.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, they're but naughty.
Anyway, back to you, Mike. Sorry.
I think one of the things I find surprising, what I expected was that there would be like a lot of vignettes of like Hogwarts that you would go from like classroom to classroom and you would see parts of it, and they would be highly detailed. I did not expect them to like completely create the entire castle. Like, it's all you can like literally, like, it's not like, okay, well, if you go through this door then it warps you to this classroom. It's like, it's literally they've from the ground up built the entire thing, and you can go tour the castle, and my family is absolutely loving that piece of it. Several times gotten lost.
And then the Hogwarts grounds around that too, right? So it's Hogwarts not just the castle. There's like a huge world.
Yeah, there's a world around it and towns around it. But I'm like shocked. Like, you'll find things all the time. And I think the exploration, they found the fun part of exploration of making this highly detailed castle. And it's like, oh, with nothing prompting you, like there's a tapestry. And if you just like walk into the tapestry, oh, actually that tapestry is a door. And there's nothing behind it that's worth seeing except for like little fan servicey things about the property. They've done a lot of that stuff that I think is why people are having so much fun with it. I think the combat's fun, but I know it's not for everyone.
So that tapestry, do you have to roll into it or strike it with your sword 1,000 times before it? Okay. Okay, just maybe getting some Elden Ring vibes.
Elden Ring.
Here.
Yeah. There are times where it's, you know, all it's required is to, you know, walk through it. Other times it's like, oh, well, if you know a particular spell, then it will manipulate this wall in such a way that you can now pass
through.
Yeah,
another one is tickle the pear in the painting. Pear to get into the kitchen. You get a doorknob.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Casey's scandalized over there.
Very scandalous. I told you they were getting naughty over there, tickling pears.
So all in all, we're having fun with it as a family. I think it's a pretty cool thing to play together. I think a lot of people will, I mean, obviously it's selling really well. People like it. I am very curious to hear from more people that like, hey, this game is selling a ton. Everyone says it's great. I want to check it out. I have no knowledge of that universe. What do they think? Because I'm very, very curious. I think this thing leans hard into the IP. To help prop up a lot of pieces of it, because there's a lot of stuff in it that's like, this is game design stuff from like 10 years ago. It's not doing a lot of brand new stuff, you know. But I think what it is doing, it's doing pretty darn well, and far better than I think I expected it to. So
yeah, I know that towards the end of the most recent Girlfriend Reviews video about it, and of course they weren't discussing, you know, the game, but they had also mentioned that they felt it was very mediocre. In pretty much every aspect of the game. And I wasn't sure if that had more to do with the experience that they had, you know, and again, we're not going to go into that, but they had a really, really negative experience streaming that game. Sure. But I'm also not sure that, you know, I'm sure that Shelby is a big Harry Potter fan, but I'm not sure that Matt is. I think he leans more into Lord of the Rings and stuff like that.
For sure.
And so I'd be,
and I would too.
Just, yeah. And so I'd be, I think that he would kind of fall into that camp, like you mentioned. I don't know him. I'm just kind of guessing based on comments that he's made. But so it's interesting to hear, you know, people that aren't fans of it, if they think it's as great of a game.
Right.
Yeah, you know, as people that just would love it could be Harry Potter Cars 2, and they would be like, oh man, this thing
is like greatest thing. It's like fan service at every turn, right? So I think if you're into the IP, you're going to find fun. They've built a playground for you. I'm really curious to see what other people who don't have an attachment to this franchise would think. I think that would be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, but again, we'll talk about it in the news, but the game is selling very well. So we'll. I would love to see how many of those people are already fans. There's got to be reviews out there from people who don't like Harry Potter.
I'm sure there are.
I just haven't seen any, so I'll have to keep looking.
Speaking of news, we should move into that.
I'm sorry, that's not how you say it, though. I believe it is pronounced the news! Still got it, baby. I got, like I said last episode, I'm 42 years old. I started doing that when I was like 35, 34. You know, my vocal cords have aged a lot since then. And, but I, that's, your way with words is amazing, and also it's perfect because we have top newsman Ultima Kills here with us to discuss the news. So I'm assuming he's got his finger on the pulse, you know, of what's been happening in gaming. So
I sure
without
do.
Any so without any further ado, let's dive into our first news story, which actually was not submitted by Ultima Kills. It was submitted by, and it actually wasn't submitted, it was just posted in our Discord, by Taco Douglas, aka Mike over here.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little unfair that the
I just doing it for,
one of the hosts
to get
of the podcast just gets to throw his news story on willy-nilly.
So Capcom Cup X will be played on Street Fighter 6, with the winner receiving a whopping $1 million. Mike, tell us about Capcom Cup X. Is this, how long has this been going on?
So is this Capcom Cup 10, I believe.
Oh,
it's a Roman numeral.
So why are we still using those, by the way?
Because they're awesome.
Okay.
Because it's more complicated than just writing 10.
It makes it cool. So way Capcom cooler. Cup is like a huge tournament that Capcom, you know, puts on and sponsors. And the only way to get into Capcom Cup is to win through a bunch of like regional and online tournaments that they also sponsor. So it's sort of like capturing like the best of the best people heading to Capcom Cup and seeing some really high level, you know, gameplay, which is fantastic. It's really interesting to see out of the gate, though, a pool this big. So a lot of these things you'll see like you know, $100,000 to $500,000 prize pool. First place gets like the biggest cut, and everybody else is sharing, you know, out of what's left, depending on what position you place. Second gets a good portion, third gets a little bit less, so on and so on. They've like more than doubled, and now the prize pool is $2 million, with first place taking $1 million of that. So.
Oh my gosh.
That is like wild. That's really crazy. I mean,
and so that's not even that's not the only money they're giving out. They're also giving out another $1 million in the runners up and stuff.
Yeah. So like out of the runners up, you're probably going to see like second place getting some insane amount of money, like, you know, $300,000 or something crazy.
Goodness gracious.
So,
and Street Fighter VI, for those of you who don't know, Street Fighter VI is the new game that's not even out yet, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to come out in July. And so what a fantastic way to, I played the closed beta. I already think it's the best Street Fighter they've made in a really long time. It's really, really fun to play.
They clearly feel that way too.
They've added a lot of things in there for people who don't play fighting games. It's going to have like this open world thing. It has a character creator. It has all kinds of really fun stuff to do. At every turn, Capcom just seems to be like, how can we get more people to come back and play some Street Fighter? And they're making all the right moves right now. It's been really fun to watch.
So I haven't played Street Fighter since I was 10 years old in a pizza place somewhere. For sure. I don't know what they could, like, unless they wanted to give me $1 million to say, here, play Street Fighter again. Like, I don't know what they could put in that game to get me to come back to it, to be honest. But fighting games are just not my fighting stick.
And that's true for a lot of people as well. They're even putting like modern controls in the game. So there's a different control scheme. Well, you'll have to use separate buttons. You won't have to know like the crazy inputs to do special moves.
Oh, that's
kind of all cool. Just work. And it works well. It does limit you in some ways, but I saw guys playing the beta, like guys that have been playing Street Fighter for decades and just trying out with modern controls in like just decimating people. So it's completely a viable way to play the game. Yeah, they're doing
a lot
of smart stuff.
Can you play with like a DDR?
Yes.
A pad.
Guaranteed.
Or some Donkey Kong bongos.
Ooh, someone will do it.
That's the best way to play any game, really.
Somebody will
Donkey
do
Kong
it.
Bongos. Donkey Bongos?
There was a guy.
Donkey Kongos?
Donkey Bongos.
What term was it? It was either like Evo or one of the Capcom ones, but he played, I want to say, I think it was Guilty Gear, with a... Guitar Hero guitar control.
Oh yeah, gosh. I've seen people do that. Yeah.
It is wild. So yeah, people do fun stuff.
Insane. Yeah. Well, Mike, why don't you? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I'm also looking forward to the documentary about the scandal of this tournament that'll be coming out in 5 years after the tournament.
Guaranteed.
Kind of like they still have that dude that set the like Donkey Kong world record or whatever. They're still making documentaries.
Oh.
Like surely the first one. Given a $1 million prize is going to be, you know, rife with
the King of
Mitchell will be there. Billy Mitchell will be there competing and somehow claim to win, and then they'll find that he hacked Street Fighter VI somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
too much.
So moving on, this story comes to us from the illustrious Ultima Kills, who is here with us. Mm-hmm. And it's from Game Rant. And Hogwarts Legacy launch sales break 22-year-old record. Demolishing Elden Ring. So,
demolished.
I'm looking for the specific record that they beat. Oh boy.
I think
I should have probably read this
I think it was like number of copies
of the show
sold
where we read the news
like by release or something like that, because this game was in like a really strange position where it was like the top selling game on Steam for like a month before it released.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
It is crazy. Let's see if it's still there. I'm actually, you can actually, what you can see. So first of all, store, we're going there now. It's the part of the show where we open Steam. top seller is, it's not in the top 10 anymore.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Now Atomic Heart is the top seller. Oh, no, it still is. It's just hiding it because I own it. It is still in the top sellers. Okay, it's the number one top seller. My bad.
That was quite a reversal there.
No, I was like, wow. Really?
It went from not being in the top 10 to being number one. Woo. What a change. Whiplash.
And it is also the top three. It's the top third most players at the moment game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Most current players right now, and it's a single player game, but it is in the top three on Steam charts. So
crazy.
That is nothing to shake your wiener at.
Doing something right.
Yeah. Amazing. Good for Avalanche, you know. You know, there's a lot of people there that probably have never worked on a hit game before, and now they have. And so that'll be really good for their resumes and all that wonderful stuff.
Maybe.
So maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe. That's a good point. And then moving on to the next news story, Nintendo Switch had a Direct recently, and they revealed two things. Both of these stories brought to you by Ultima Kills, by the way.
And
the first
democratically
thing,
selected by...
Yes, that's right.
The not just brought in by a dictator at the last
like
moment.
Adam does. So the first one, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, will be Nintendo's first $70 game.
Mm-hmm.
Very controversial to me because they did not release new hardware. Why is this game suddenly more than every other Switch game? To me, it tells me it's just because they can.
From Nintendo? You just
know.
Yeah, they never. They would never do such a thing, David.
So that's the first news story. And the second one is Nintendo Switch. They just kind of stealth dropped. First of all, they stealth dropped Metroid Prime Remastered, which by all accounts is very good. I have yet to play it, but it apparently is amazing. And then also they stealth dropped Game Boy games and Game Boy Advance games. And if you have regular old stinky Nintendo online service, you get Game Boy games. And then if you have the $20 extra a year service, you get Game Boy Advance games as well. And I'm actually really interested in one of the Game Boy Advance games, Legend of Zelda, the Minish Cap or whatever. I've never played that game and I've heard it's pretty good. So pretty excited.
Did you ever play the Oracle of Seasons or the Oracle of Ages?
No, but I've been hoping for a Link's Awakening style remake to play.
Yeah. Those are my favorite Zelda games, probably.
And not made by Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh, those ones aren't either?
Those are made by Capcom.
Yep, Minish Cap is Capcom. Also made by Capcom. That's crazy. Yeah.
And so the Oracle games aren't actually out yet, but they're announced,
right? Like
they're going to be out at some point. Whatever. But yeah, those were great. And they kind of came out in the Game Boy Color era. And so
are
I
they
feel
in
like,
color?
Like, are those? Game Boy Color games were... Yeah, it was called
in
that,
color,
but it,
quote unquote.
Yeah, it was more colors than the Game Boy had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was green
really
and white.
Say it was, but I wouldn't really say they were in color. But so I feel like there's a lot of people that maybe missed those because I have this conversation a lot with people, and they're like, "Oh, I only played it a little bit. Yeah, I loved Link's Awakening, but maybe they had dropped off or they didn't get a Game Boy Color." Or, mom and dad had already bought them the Game Boy. So we have Game Boy Color at home. Look, it's green and white. And so I think there may be a lot of people that missed those. And so I'm really happy that people will get a chance to experience those because I really love those games.
Yeah.
Nice. I love seeing new games come to that service that I pay like something like $40 a year or maybe more for. I wish they would release things a little more often. I kind of like the Netflix of old school games approach, but I do kind of would rather, I do feel like I would rather still be able to buy them a la carte,
especially
because of how slowly, I don't know, but what's the
way? Save that for topic time, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we're getting into, I'm spoiling my feelings a little bit here. So that's the news, guys. And now it's supposed to be the tweets, which Mike struggles to read, but I didn't tweet anything this time around because we were kind of haphazard.
Yeah. But Mike struggled to read the intro, so we're 100%. We got our Mike struggling bit out of the way.
I struggled to read the intro, and I always will.
Yeah. There you go.
Next episode, I promise, we'll do some tweets. Also, feel free to join our Discord. If you go to bit.ly/sbfegsdiscord, I'm going to start drumming up the topic in our Discord sometimes too before we record, just for folks that have dropped off of Twitter due to other things we don't have to get into, like Mike and Casey here. Yeah,
take us through real quick, David. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on with Twitter?
I don't feel qualified to handle the discourse of this particular thing either. So refer to your local The Verge or Wired.com, or you'll find plenty of think pieces, even the New York Times. You'll find plenty of think pieces about the current state of Twitter. And that's all I'll say about that.
All the hard hitting topics today.
All the hard hitting topics. We're just getting into all the controversy on this episode. But Mike, I believe it is time for the part of the show where we sell you things.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yeah, I guess we have a couple of things. No merch.
We have a couple of things. We still have a Patreon, technically.
Technically a Patreon.
We're not really doing anything with it at the moment because Mike in particular is... If you thought Adam was busy with two jobs, Mike is basically as busy with one job, especially with recent goings on. at his work where there's less people there now. But so that's why we have not been super active with our Patreon. We might get back to a point at some point where we're, you know, actively making the fun, like, side, what do we call them? Mini-sodes, mini quests.
And extra content. Yeah. That'll be
fun. Someday we'll be back to that. But for now, it's kind of dormant. We're not even making video episodes at the moment. But if you do feel the need to give us a couple ducats, that is a good place to do it, because we get more of that than any other place you can support us. So that's patreon.com/sbfvgs. And there is content there from the past that you can, you know, enjoy if you sign up to certain tiers, which I love some of the stuff we did there. But, you know, again, we're not actively asking people to do that. But if you feel so inclined to give us some ducats, then that, I mean, that is a good place.
David, you're still taking baths. So, like, the David's Bathwater tier is still available, right?
Oh,
has that,
so, yeah.
has that been shut down, too?
About that.
How could you forget that?
I don't know.
We have an emoji for it and everything.
I know. It doesn't make sense, but I did. Okay. And then also the other thing we can promote to you is our Twitch channel, our illustrious Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/sbfvgs. Like I said, I'm trying to stream every Monday and every Thursday. I'm actually not streaming tonight because it's a holiday and my wife and I are going to do something. But usually Mondays and Thursdays around 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Right now I'm playing through Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. Help me out if I get stuck. I have the strategy guide from Nintendo back in the day, but it's not very helpful.
You don't even need it.
Oh, right. Well, with Twitch twat. Twitch twat.
I'm sorry,
Twitch
what?
Twat.
I'm sorry, what?
Twitch twat.
And this is why we still do the part of the show where you resell you things, because this always happens. We're off the rails. Anyway, twitch.tv/sbfvgs. Give us your free Twitch. Like, if you link Twitch and Amazon together, you can do a free subscription. That's always nice. That's a nice... We get half of that, so that's better than nothing. But, again, no pressure to... you can just come and hang, and that's just as good in my book. So,
Come and hang out in the Twitch.
I don't know if we can say that on this show.
Then beep it. Do your Mario coin. You can do it. There was madness in any direction.
Why don't we get into topic time? The meat and potato, as Adam would say.
If he were here.
If he were here, but he's not, so screw that guy. No, just kidding. But Casey, I believe since it's your first super best friend appearance, we decided to open the floor and see if you had a topic to share with us. So why don't you dive on in?
Fine topic, indeed. So... as you may know, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, you know, already, I think Nintendo is famous for its questionable decision making at times. We can all remember, is the Wii U a controller? Is it a console? Nobody knows.
Oh man, that was a big blunder. Yes, big time.
Hey, here's the Nintendo Switch. You want to chat with your friends on it? Well, you got to have a mobile app on a phone to be able to do that.
So strange.
You know, so they're very well known for making these questionable decisions, right?
That's putting it very mildly.
Very mildly. I would say they make more questionable decisions than they make, like, you know, hit the nail on the head decisions. But so something that I thought about recently, and this was kind of sparked by the news story that we talked about with the release of the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games on the online service, is, you know, when the Nintendo Switch first came out, everybody was like, where's my virtual console?
Yes.
Give me virtual console now.
Yeah.
I want it now. Why is there no virtual console? Yeah.
Why
she
do
was
they
there.
Sound like Veruca Salt?
Because she was there. She was complaining about not having a virtual console. And she was, you know, everything. And so I was thinking, now, so Nintendo Switch Online, they've got NES, they've got SNES, they've got Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis in the premium tier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got Game Boy, and Game Boy Advance is in the premium tier. Mm-hmm. Is that offering now better than if they had just brought Virtual Console over to the Nintendo Switch? We happier with what we have now? And then, I mean, they're still adding games to it, right? That, you know, some of them you get for free, some of them you have to be Moneybags Tate to be able to afford the premium service. But are we happier with this than what we would have been if they would have just brought over the Virtual Console, like what everybody was begging for, you know, when it first came out?
So, man, I think if I was like sit analyze it from a business perspective, right? Subscriptions are the way of the future. Of course, they're going to try to push that route. Everyone wants to go subscriptions. But even outside of that, I do wonder if they had a lot of deals that were in place with a lot of third parties for the Virtual Console setup that was on the Wii, and they would have to then renegotiate all that stuff, because that Virtual Console had like a bunch of Capcom games in it, Konami games, things like that, that they probably can't just put it out, right? They would have to go back to the negotiating table and everyone gets their cut type of thing, and maybe they just didn't want to deal with that this time. So that probably all kind of led to how it is. As far as though my preference, I hate the fact that it's just like Nintendo picks the games that are going to show up in this thing, and you can't play any of the stuff that you actually want to play.
Well, it depends. Do you want to play Nintendo games? You can play most of them, but
yeah, I mean, do you want to play Super Mario games? Do you want to play Kirby? Do you want to play Zelda?
We pay a lot of attention to that stuff, right? Where there's like, hey, so look, in the catalog, we've got Zelda, we've got Star Fox, we've got all of these things that you love.
Right? An unreleased Star Fox, which was pretty cool.
And that stuff is pretty cool. But then to kind of round the catalog out, it's like, hey, nothing this month, next month. Mm. Hey, next month, here's a game. You've never heard of it, and it's in Japanese. We didn't translate it.
It's a Japanese puzzle game you've never heard of.
Just go ahead and figure it out, I guess. It's a game, though, right? Are you happy with games? Like, no, I'm not generally just happy with games.
Also not paying. I mean, you're not paying for it, but you're not paying just for that. Like, you get, like, to be honest, for me, the $20 a year is worth it for the cloud saving. Because I don't want to have to lose my 400 hours I've put into Breath of the Wild. And Mike, I'm sure you don't want to lose the 400 hours you put into Breath of the Wild either. I know how much
it was.
You
a little
like
less than
Wild.
400, but
very applicable to Mike. Yes.
But, you know, I mean, for what you're paying, $20 a year for your money bags, take, you know, what is it, 40? Is it $40 a year for the rest?
Yeah.
Even at that, you know, you're getting games that are added, you know, incrementally. Would you spend more than that if it was a virtual console and you could buy whatever you want?
Yes.
Like, would you spend more than $20 a year on it?
Easily, right? Because if like Mega Man 2 and Castlevania and, you know, a plethora of other games that I still really like are $5 each, then I'm going to spend $20 pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I know, well, I also know I'm not everybody, right? So that's just...
But that's just a one-time purchase, though. They want, like, so here's the thing. This is, so Nintendo does this a lot, and I really should hate them for this, but I don't know why I don't. I think I might have that syndrome, where she falls in love with her captors, because...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it either.
Is it Florence Nightingale? Or is that where... I had this exact same conversation on the last episode.
The Stockholm?
Stockholm Syndrome. I think I have Stockholm Syndrome because, like, Nintendo constantly makes... I have this thing where I hate consumer-unfriendly decisions. Mm-hmm. Decisions that are made to designed to only benefit the company and not the user. I feel like it's not that hard to make things that the users want that also benefits the company. Maybe it's hard to do it as profitably, and maybe that's why it's less popular, but... Like, so what Mike's talking about, just going and buying games a la carte, which games you want, great for the consumer, but you pay one time. And with the subscription, you know, you want to play Super Mario World, you got to keep giving them, and I looked it up, it's $50 a year. How about this? If you want to keep playing Super Mario 64, you have to give them $50 a year every year, and not just the one time. And so I guess if you were willing to spend $50 a year on purchases, then maybe it would be worth it for Nintendo. But this is like, assuming consumers are like desperate enough for this content to pay it, this is a guaranteed $50 a month from users instead of a maybe we'll get $50 this year, maybe we'll get $10 next year, maybe we'll get no dollars the year after, you know, like,
I mean, cause like to give a comparison, right? I give Sony like $60 a year, for PlayStation Plus. And that is primarily for, cloud saves and multiplayer and things like that, even though I don't do much of that. And I just accept that's a cost I'm going to pay. Not thrilled about it, but okay. I need those things. I'm going to go ahead and pay that fee. And Nintendo did the same thing and said, yeah, you're doing this to your cloud saves. And that's great. And if you're looking at it from that direction, it's great value. $20 a year, you get your cloud saves. And then here's like Amazon Prime style, some games thrown in. I just don't look at that as like, oh, that actually replaces my need for the virtual console.
Right.
I still want a virtual console.
It's a nice added value, but it's a terrible replacement for virtual console.
So would you be happy if they expanded, you know, the catalog?
And oh, then dramatically, yeah.
Put more of those games into the premium tier. Like, is this a model that you are you unhappy with it because of the selection of the games? And like, if it had more of the games that are available on the virtual console,
yeah. That like has a lot to do with
it. It's just the selection of the game is the issue.
I'm also subbed to Game Pass, right? And the reason I'm subbed to Game Pass is because it's $10 a month and it has an amazing selection of games. So I don't mind a sub model if the catalog is really good.
Right.
But I don't feel like the catalog from Nintendo is that good. A lot of times it will, like the premium stuff come out. Okay, so here's a bunch of cool GBA games. Oh, that's really cool. Once you've kind of messed around with those and blown through them, though, it actually, you take a step back. Like, actually, this is a really small catalog. I wish there was more stuff in here that was interesting and not just like anything to make the number bigger.
Yeah, whatever they like, could get their hands on at that time.
You know, I would say like easily 50% of what's in the catalog is stuff that nobody wants to play.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that's
all.
That's a good estimate. And also, I looked it up. There aren't really that many Square games. Like they were like amazing. There are some amazing Square SNES games. They're on the little mini SNES that they made, but they're not on the virtual console or whatever this is called, Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, the online. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so that's interesting. So if they could get licensing to put it on the minis. Like, I wonder what is stopping them from putting it on the online service.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't understand.
I don't know enough about that side of the business. I would imagine with the minis, it's like a one-time licensing, you know, purchase. It's going on to this thing. And it's probably far more complicated to say that we have to work out a licensing deal where every year the assessors are going to pay for this service. And now we need to calculate percentages and pay everyone back out for the things that are in the catalog. Those things get complicated, but
I'm sure it's solvable, right?
Microsoft is doing it right now.
But
here's the flip side of that, and the reason that stuff is, why it's not like that is it's like the worst kept secret, right? That Game Pass is not profitable for Microsoft. It cannibalizes their purchases within the Xbox.
Yeah, their
ecosystem.
Day one purchases. Yep.
Yeah, it's completely cannibalizing that. And they lose money on the system. Like it is a money loser both ways for Microsoft, but they are investing in that as the future. They are trying to get people into a mindset where you just stop buying games and you pay for our service and you get the catalog. And eventually you will pay more for it because
Amazon, where it used to be the cheapest way to get everything, and now it's more expensive than everything else. But I always look there first because I'm like, well, I've already got it. Easy.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's convenient. Yeah.
So Nintendo is, I think, very well known for doing what is profitable versus necessarily what, you know, like you were saying, feels great for the customer, right? So they are not going to put in a subscription system that loses them money. They're just not going to do it.
Right.
Same reason that the Nintendo Switch is as underpowered as it is because they want it to be profitable.
Yep.
Rather than take a loss on console sales and make it up in software sales. They'd rather just make profit all the time. So that's their business model.
Yeah, I put Nintendo up at like Apple tier of making decisions, you know, that make money and are not
very similar.
Good for
yeah.
the consumers.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
They are Disney-esque in that they know they have they have an IP catalog that there is a portion of the population that will pay anything to keep playing those IPs.
They'll just get an emulator and play them for free.
Right.
That's true.
Which is why, like,
download the PC port
and stream it on Twitch.
Yeah. Every fan project gets like obliterated, right? Just like the moment it becomes any kind of public, Nintendo's all over it. They are extremely controlling the IP, and rightfully so, right? Because they're not like Sony, they're not like Microsoft, where they have all these other arms of the business that bring in like incomes for movies and things like that. Now they're starting to get there, right? They're starting to reach out, you know, with the Mario movie. But right now, that IP, that's their bread and butter.
Oh,
if they lose their IP, you know, then they're done. So they would hate
for some fan project to take Mario and do something like combine it with Rabbids and do something crazy that like nobody was asking for, nobody wanted.
Just go insane
with it. Oh, they did that. That's right. I forgot about that.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops. All Rabbids.
Oh man, this is off topic really quick. I want to throw this in before we wrap things up. But speaking of how Rabbids, like, remember how I said Rabbids and Minions are basically the same in my opinion, but Rabbids are worse. Well, the studio that's making the Mario movie made the Minions movies. And so I hope a Minion does not show up in a Mario property. Oh,
I can't
please.
Wait. It's going
to
happen.
I want that to happen so bad now.
Hey, David.
Because I just want to see David flipping tables.
David. Just give us Super Mario RPG 2. That's all I want. Okay, anyway.
They both
this has
wear,
been.
With
they
rabbits.
Both wear overalls, man. We're halfway there already.
Oh, no.
More than half. Oh. Overalls like two-thirds of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you did there. So anyway, this has been SBFVGS episode 186. Right, Mike?
I'm pretty sure, unless the number changed.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 186, but all I'm right. trying to prompt you into doing the outro.
Oh, you're trying to segue.
You have a hard out, don't you? Yeah. Oh, I am. Yes.
Yeah. I unfortunately do have a hard out this morning. My in-laws have headed out for vacation.
Oh, no.
They've already flown. I need to go pick up their dog. I'm dog sitting for a week.
Oh, yes. Yes. Don't let that dog. Don't be 5 minutes late for that dog. Don't you dare.
Well, it's an hour.
You can
away.
Be late for your in-laws, but don't be late for a dog.
Never.
No, that's okay. You love the dog more than the SBFVGS audience. I get it.
We get it, Mike.
I mean, everyone loves dogs more than people, so it's fine.
Touche.
So this has been episode 186 of the Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast. We talked about how you can continue to support us if you so choose on patreon.com/SBFVGS. You should absolutely be checking out David's Twitch streams on twitch.tv/SBFVGS. Those
Mike almost catches every single one, which
I try
to. Probably my most loyal fan at this point.
Yeah, man, those are really fun streams.
Throw a falcon punch every once in a while, and then
Right. That's another fun thing. Really quick, there's another fun thing we do on stream. Everyone kind of selects eight, so you can play sound effects on my stream, and everyone has kind of selected like a hello. And so like when Soak7 joins, by the way, fan of the show, I love that guy. Met him in person; he's great. He throws in a Hadouken because he loves Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. And when Casey jumps in, he throws in a Falcon Punch. Yeah, ooh, that's really good. Vegas Mel, I think. Oh man, what's hers? I forgot. Oh, but Vegas Mel has
Better
one,
not
and
be
it's
Falcon
really
Punch.
No, it's not Falcon Punch. It's like. Oh man, I forgot what it was.
Sorry, Vegas Mel.
Oh, hello there by Obi-Wan. That's what it is.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yes. So
that
anyway,
that makes way more sense than Falcon Punch.
But I love it because I know who's there without even looking at the chat. I'm like, oh, hey,
I'm probably the only person that uses that sound effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, stop by the Twitch stream. We have a lot of fun. It's just like hanging out with your buddies, playing video games after school. That's the vibe I'm going for. Also, stop by the Discord. Mike, Adam, and I, and Casey here, we're all very active on that Discord. It's bit.ly/SBFVGSDiscord. Drop by, stop by, bring pie. Oh my.
Drop, stop, and pie.
I'm not going to rescue you, David. I'm just letting that hang out in the air for
a minute. That's it. I'm done. I'm done with that.
Our podcast logo was created by the handsomely faced Mr. Eric Kruger. Thank you.
Ooh, an Ultima. There you go.
That was much better than mine. I miss his face quite a bit, but I know he's a busy man.
Yes. He's a busy gallivanting around
world
South
traveler.
America. We wish him well.
So that has been episode 186. There's a bunch of stuff that Adam says. I don't have it memorized, and I'm not going to.
Yeah, we don't know.
He usually throws in like a pithy joke at this point.
Oh,
like
yes.
Something referencing the thing that happened in the episode. I wasn't paying attention.
Tune in next fortnight for more bashing/loving Nintendo needs. I don't
for
know.
For more Adamless podcast.
Aww. Aww, that makes sense.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Casey, thank you so much for being on. Is there a place that folks can connect you, or do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I'm on Discord exclusively now.
Yeah.
I'm a Discord exclusive, so
me too,
if anybody
much.
Wants to talk to me, come find me there.
Ooh, that's an incentive right there. Stop by for the Discord exclusive Ultima Kills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a good time.
And if you're interested, like they mentioned, you can go check out. The last time I was on the show was the Last of Us 2 spoiler cast that I think is available to everybody. So got some good times. That was another great.
That was a fun discussion.
No difficult topics to discuss there either.
Go
give that a listen if you want to hear more.
We should have you come back as the HBO series wraps up. And see what we think.
Yeah.
Are you watching?
I would love
it?
That. Of course I am.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I know not everyone's watching. So.
I'm not, so I won't be on that one like I wasn't on The Last of Us 2 one.
Too dark for David.
Yeah, it's too sad.
No,
anyway.
David after dark.
David after, that's right. But on that note, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back maybe in another fortnight or two.
Fingers crossed.
For more talk on gaming. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Right now, I'm playing through Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. I have the strategy guide from Nintendo back in the day, but it's not very helpful.
You don't even need it.
Oh, right. Well, with Twitch twat.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.